The book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 2, let's read, please. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Let us take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this blessing, so wonderful and so rare for us to be gathered around Thy holy word, more than just two or three. We pray, O Lord, that Thou bless Thy word in our hearts, that Thou grant us Thy enlightenment, that Thou bless our minds with clear understanding of Thy holy word. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we journey through this world, as we seek to walk on the path of righteousness, O God, our Father, we often feel tired and sad, and at times we are very lonely. Many times we are in fear, and from time to time we are overwhelmed with our anxieties. Gracious Lord, our mighty God, we pray as we look into the message that Thou hast delivered to Thy prophet Ezekiel. We pray Thou grant us understanding and the grace to hear and to understand this message, and that we be, O Lord, encouraged to walk in Christ, our Lord and Savior, to walk according to Thy Spirit and not to fulfill the desires of the flesh, nor to be dismayed, confused, with the fears that our enemy would like to use as a weapon. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that during this time of grace, the time of Thy mercy, open to everyone that turns unto Thee, and with a whole heart call upon Thy name, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thou art offering salvation and abundant grace and protection and guidance and instruction. Thou art giving peace and joy of Thy salvation. For everything that Thou art commanding us to do, Thou art giving strength and ability to obey. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we acknowledge before Thee that often we are unprepared to obey Thy word. Many times we take Thy blessings for granted, and we get used to Thy goodness and Thy mercy. And at times we are very much surprised when there is something more to suffer than what we are used to. O Heavenly Father, we pray Thou remind us, Thou refresh our memory, Thou fill our hearts with that awareness that we are in a battlefield, that we are out in Thy field to work and to labor, that we are pilgrims, and our pilgrim path is sometimes very steep. Thou, O Heavenly Father, give us also the awareness and the experience of Thy continuous help. Lord God Almighty, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness. Thy goodness and Thy mercy is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. Thou hast given us the bread of life. Everyone that will eat of the bread of life would have life in himself, in herself. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, We thank Thee for the comfort of Thy Holy Spirit, for the wisdom of Thy Word. And we praise Thee, O Heavenly Father, that Thou hast given us this goodness and grace of Thine salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou have Thy loving Lordship in our hearts and in our daily walk. Make us free from doubts and fears, we pray. Give us the blessing of trusting and relying on Thee. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou give us pure, godly devotion. Thou deliver us from vanity and pride. Make us free from selfishness. Grant us, O Lord, pure and holy Christian love. Love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His self-denial. Give us grace and power, O Lord, to walk as the children of light. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as Thou hast commanded the prophet Ezekiel to digest the message that Thou art delivering to him, O Lord, we pray that Thou give us also that spiritual appetite, that we desire Thy holy word, that we eagerly receive the message, and that we faithfully apply the message to our daily walk, and then, O Lord, that we bravely declare Thy message to the world. Grant us patience and endurance to encourage one another and to unite our hearts and minds in the Spirit of Christ, that we continue in prayers and supplications. Thy Holy Spirit fill our hearts, and Thy Word become continually our daily manna from above. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that in our daily life Thou exalt the name of Christ. Thou manifest the power of Thy Holy Spirit. Thou grant us, O Lord, that fellowship in the Spirit of Christ with all the saints whose names we find in this book, and with all those whose lives on this earth have the testimony of obedience, faithfulness, endurance, and zeal for Thy holy name. O Lord God Almighty, grant to us that testimony of true godliness, that we may encourage every fellow pilgrim, that we may embrace every brother and sister in Christian love, that we may warn the backsliders, that we may caution the light-minded. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, the gift of inviting the sinners to the Savior, to the fountain of life and truth. O Lord, we pray, Thou make us meek and humble, faithful, pure and holy, righteous, godly, Thine own children in Christ Jesus our Savior. Heavenly Father, we pray that in our hearts and minds, and in our daily walk, Thy will be done, and Thy name be hallowed. Thy will be done day by day, that we do Thy will from the heart and rejoice in Thy salvation, that our longing be toward that heavenly home, and that we seek not peace and joy in the world around us. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, teach us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. For truly Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory, worship and praise, power and government. For Thou alone art God, our Creator, and the only Savior, the Almighty Judge above all judges and the King above all kings. To Thee belong kingdom and glory and majesty forever. Amen. As a child, as I was growing and learning from the Scripture more by listening than by reading myself, the book of the prophet Daniel was very familiar, at least the first part, the young witnesses for the Lord in the fiery furnace, Daniel the prophet in the den of lions. At that time he was not that young, he was older. The book of the prophet Ezekiel was quite unfamiliar. No great miracles happened in this book. No lions with a shut mouth, lions that will not devour a human body. No furnace that is in an awful heat and yet there is a shadow. No mysterious dream of a king revealed to the prophet Daniel. No writing on the wall like in the days of King Belteshazzar and so on. Nothing. And yet, When I started reading the book of the prophet Ezekiel, I was amazed with the message. There is something in common. Both the prophet Daniel and the prophet Ezekiel were in captivity. They were slaves. They were taken out of their country after the Babylonian invasion. The temple of the Lord burned down to the ground, destroyed. The city of Jerusalem practically leveled, and what is left was worse than if it were completely destroyed. And the ruins were so awful to look at. Everything was so terrible. If we read the lamentation of the prophet Jeremiah, we can realize that it was an awful sight. Where are the people supposed to turn to? Where to pray? Where to offer sacrifices? No, everything is taken away. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord destroyed, probably. Disappeared. They just don't have anything. Any of those things that they relied on. Why? Because while they had all of these privileges and the gifts and blessings, like the temple of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant, and the ordinances and the law, and the voice of the Lord heard from above the mercy seat, they disobeyed. They couldn't care less to obey the word of God. And the last years of the existence of that kingdom, Judea, the prophet Jeremiah had a terrible time. They asked him, the king and the princes and the people asked Jeremiah, what is the word of God? And when he told them what was the message from the Lord, they cast him into the dungeon, into mud. They asked, what is the message from God? And he told them, and they say, he deserves to be killed. He's not seeking the good of the people. But today, when we look around, we see the same thing. If you tell anything from the scripture to the people in the world, they hear that as a threat. They see that as an obstacle to their desires. And this is a warning to us, that we do not consider the scripture a burden, a threat, an obstacle, but rather the other way around. The goodness and the grace of God has given us His truth, that we may know the way which we should choose. The people of Israel, more in particular, the people of Judah, in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, they heard the word of God for a long time, and they have seen that the word of God is being fulfilled, and the words of their false prophets are not being fulfilled. And again they asked Jeremiah, what is the message of the Lord? He told them again, and they disobeyed again. They just could not break their heart to submit to the word of God. I remember once when the king secretly asked Jeremiah, is there a message from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, yes, there is. And if I tell you, are you not going to kill me? And the king said, no, I'm not going to kill you. If anybody asks what the king talked to you, you tell them the first part of our conversation, and so they will not know that you told me the word of God. And then the princes will not be after you to murder you. Jeremiah told the king, what is the message of God? What is the commandment of God? And the king said, I'm afraid if I do that I will suffer. And Jeremiah said, no, my lord the king. You will suffer if you don't do the will of God. You will suffer much more if you disobey the word of God. And we see that today. These people in the world that disobey the word of God, they suffer. And they should see that in their suffering, the Lord is graciously giving them to survive so that they can turn to the Lord. They won't. There are other people that suffer more. And those are the ones that listen to the word of God. They hear the message of God, and they still disobey. They have their imagination, their direction. And they take the Bible and twist it and wrap it around their idea, and that's their way of living. And here we have something about that. But let's start from the beginning of this chapter 2. The Lord is talking to the prophet Ezekiel, and the prophet Ezekiel is down on the ground, flat. And the Lord said, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. So what happened? Did the prophet get up? No, he was not able to. But the Spirit entered into the prophet, as the Lord spake unto the prophet, and the Spirit set him up upon his feet. And then the prophet was able to hear, I suppose, clearly what the Lord was speaking to him. The first commandment of the Lord was, stand up upon thy feet, get up. But he was not able to do that. He did hear the voice of God. And as he was hearing the voice of God, the Spirit entered into him. And he heard the word of God clearly. And the Spirit acted in him powerfully. What is that? What does that mean to us? When we prayerfully read the word of God, when we approach the word of God in meekness, with a desire to be obedient, the Spirit of the Lord will enter into our heart and mind and give us understanding. And he will do what the Lord is commanding us to do. The Spirit took him up and put him on his feet, made him ready to hear the message of the Lord, and then proceed on in obedience. In the verse number 3, the Lord said unto him, Son of man, I sent thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, that have rebelled against me, against the Lord. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. To that kind, to that side of humanity, or to that side of the Jews, Hebrews, the Lord is sending the prophet Ezekiel to the rebellious. Their fathers were rebellious, and so are they. But here the Lord is not talking only about the biological fathers. He's talking about spiritual fathers and their children. Either they were faithful or they were disobedient. To those that were disobedient, rebellious, the Lord is sending the prophet this day. How does that apply to our life? Or what message we can get from this? What can we learn as we read this passage? The Lord has sent us. He has placed us in this world that we declare the word of God, first by our living, by our manners, by our intentions, our deeds, and then by our words. When we get the opportunity to share the word of God, we should share the word of God. We should attempt to get across to the others and tell them something about the word of God. But we should also share the word of God among ourselves, one to another. The message of the Lord, the message of the word of God, I think, is trifold. One purpose is that when there are two or three together, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage one another to be faithful to the Lord, to comfort one another, to share Christian love, to walk together in love and unity in the Spirit of Christ. Then, when we see that someone professing to be a Christian, to be a disciple of the Lord, a follower of the Lord Jesus, is backsliding or fearful or overwhelmed with anxiety, that we warn one another, that we caution one another, and then again encourage in the right direction. The third function or purpose of proclaiming the word of God or sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is to invite the sinners to the Lord, to find that salvation. I would like to ask you a question. Did that ever happen to any one of you? And I would like to give the answer also. It did happen to me. That I wanted to share the word of God with someone, and somehow I had some fear. I had some hesitation. There is some resistance to that. Why? Why would that be so difficult sometimes? You have a relative, you have a friend, a neighbor, and so on. Why would it be so difficult to say, listen, I was just thinking about you and your way of living and so on, and this is what I find in the scripture, in the Bible. Do you ever read the Bible? Do you believe it? Are you living in sin? Or just find the way that would be possible sharing the word of God with someone. Did you find it hard to do it? Is it much easier to say, well, nice weather today, and how is the crop in your field? How is your cattle? Or how is your family? And so on. Just good morning and goodbye, and just kind of take it easy. I see here that the Lord is giving some instruction and some commandments to the prophet and telling him that it's going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, he will be rejected. But the Lord says, I send thee anyway. I send thee to those that will not listen, to those that will not obey. But I want you to go and tell them the message that I give to you. Verse number 3 says, He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. In other words, Ezekiel, you are not going to say whatever come to your mind. You're going to say the word of God to them. And you tell them, this is not my personal message, this is the word of God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Our Lord Jesus also said, Behold, I send you as sheep among the wolves. Why would he do that? Why didn't he say, Listen, I make you all lions of Judah and the roots of David, and you'll be mighty warriors, and you go out there and just, what, destroy all the Gentiles? That was the old commandment given to the children of Israel long ago. When the Lord Jesus came, he came to offer himself to be our Redeemer. And as we watch him walking through the villages and towns of Judea and Galilee, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, and healing the lame people, and they walked and leaped for joy, and cleansing the lepers, and just by the word of God, just by a simple touch of his hand, he did miracles and wonderful things. Why? Why that? John the Baptist proclaimed the word of God, the same gospel, the same teaching that our Lord Jesus was proclaiming and that our Lord Jesus sent John to be the forerunner and to proclaim that gospel. We find that in the gospel according to Mark. It's very plainly recorded there that it's the same thing. Not as some people try to say that John was preaching one thing and the Lord Jesus was preaching the other. In the beginning of Mark's Gospel, I read, The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What is the beginning of that Gospel? The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That's the beginning of the Gospel. Who said that? Way back. I think it was the prophet Isaiah. The same words. Then, what is the beginning of the gospel? John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He did no miracle. It was just simple preaching. John himself was a miracle. And so is everyone that believes and obeys the word of God today. Our Lord Jesus offered himself. And as we see him by the end of his earthly journey, walking from Gethsemane, arrested that night into the palace of the high priest to be falsely accused, unjustly condemned, unlawfully tortured, and then taken to the governor, Pilate, the judge. And the judge confirmed a number of times, there is no wrong on this man. What do you want me to do? And they, the priests, the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, scribes, and the people that followed them cried, Crucify him, crucify him. And the Lord Jesus allowed them to, and they did. And it was an awful way of dying. But there was something much more awful than that. He suffered in his soul the judgment of God that we deserve. It was a terrible thing. And yet, let's look back. In Gethsemane, the Lord said, Not my, but thy will be done. The will of the Father to be done. And when they the mob came, they came to arrest him, led by that poor man, Judas Iscariot. The Lord asked them, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." It was night. They probably had some torches, and they had sticks and staves. I think some of them were armed. They were temple soldiers there. They said that they seek Jesus of Nazareth, and the Lord said, "I am." And they were so frightened that they stumbled backwards and fell on their back. What a shameless mob. They got up, and they were standing around him. And he asked them the same question. And they answered, "We want Jesus of Nazareth." And he told them, "I told you, I'm the one. If you seek me, let my disciples go their way." He had the power to resist, but he had greater power to suffer. And with that power of patient long-suffering, he prevailed against the fury of the enemy. He suffered to the end, revealing to us the path of life through death and resurrection. That's our message. That's what has been given to us to proclaim. But listen, no words will be credible, and none of the people around us will have any reason to believe that if our life and manners do not show that we truly believe in the way of salvation, in the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as a strong foundation for our faith, that through death and resurrection, we are going to join Him. If we are burdened with worries and fears when there is no visible threat, the people around us will see us not as prophets of the Lord, but as the people deceived by their strange beliefs. Look how unhappy they are. Look how fearful they are. Look how helpless they are. But the Lord Jesus suffered not helplessly. He suffered with power. Power to suffer. What is that power? Not to fear, but to trust the Lord. But then, let's look at the other side. What if we do fear? I shouldn't say if. What, since we do fear? Remember, I think it's in the chapter about faith. By faith they did this and that and so on. And one of the verses is telling us, by faith the parents of Moses hid the child for 3 months, not fearing the commandment of the king. Well, if they did not fear the commandment of the king, why would they hide the child? Let everybody see, we have a child and we don't fear the king. No. They did fear the king, but they did not fear the king. What does that mean? Or what I would like to say, the fear that they had was not strong enough to control them, but only to make them very cautious, very careful. It would be a nonsense, I believe, if I would say, "I don't care if I suffer. It doesn't hurt me." Oh yes, it does. It hurts when we suffer. Suffering did hurt the Lord. Suffering did hurt the apostles. With the help of the Lord, we can endure. And from Him we receive comfort, encouragement, strength, and we have decided we will follow the Lord no matter what. He will give us the strength. He will arm us for everything to prepare us to meet every challenge, every threat. As long as we walk with the Lord, we can reach only one place, and that is where He is, the kingdom of God, the glory, the peace, and the joy. Here, to the prophet Ezekiel, the message is going on. In the verse number 5, the Lord is repeating again, "And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them." Why is the Lord repeating that? You see, we are here in this world, and if I understand correctly, what the purpose of this message is, or what is the application to our life and our experience here today. Living in this world, we are between two dangers, two threats. One threat is that we get used to the evil that is in the world, and gradually it's not evil that much in our eyes. Everybody is doing that. It's nothing new. Or the other threat is that, look, I try to share the word of God, and I talk to this one, and I talk to that one, and I'm striving prayerfully to live a godly life. And for so many years, who did believe? Who did turn to the Lord? Hardly anyone. So, I will not share the word of God anymore. No, no, no. No, the Lord doesn't say that. Whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. The Lord has made his people a living testimony, a light in the darkness of this world, a city that is on the hilltop, the salt of the earth. This word, I believe, is encouraging us, commanding us not to give up, not to cease, but to continue and to strive. Not only not to give up, but to strive to be more and more faithful and closer to the Lord's example. Verse 6 says, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words." What is the difference between them and their words? So often the appearance of the people around us, or the appearance of the situation around us, is threatening. And sometimes it's not threatening, it's enticing. But the words of the world are threatening. I remember way back when I was as young as some of you are, when I was facing the arrest and court procedure and judgment and this and that, because, in their words, I refused to serve my patriotic duty of defending my country. One of the high-ranking officers of that army told me, "And you would rather allow yourself to decompose in a dungeon rather than to serve your duty and then enjoy your life and have all the privileges of a good socialist or communist." It was not like that. As a matter of fact, my health improved considerably during the period of imprisonment, in spite of the difficult conditions of life there. Why? I think I could explain it only one way: undeserved grace. But what happened to them that were dreaming about their careers and enjoying long retirement and the benefits of being a good communist? They ended up in a civil war and suffered a lot. Many of them died, and those that remained hardly have anything to eat. Now, it doesn't always turn out like that. I could have died in that prison. So what? And they could have lived, quote, happily, unquote, to the end of their lives. So what? Both are nothing in comparison. The most comfortable life on this earth in sin is nothing to be compared with the glory of the Lord and the blessedness that the redeemed ones have, even in this life, and much more in eternity. And all the suffering of the people of God in this world is nothing to be compared with the suffering that endless eternity in hell. And beside, the present enjoyment of the world is filled with bitterness, envy, threats. The world is a very unhappy place. And if you watch them closely, which, by the way, might be a waste of time, but if sometimes you do, you'll see that their happiness is only on the face. They are not happy, even those that pretend to be. But if we meditate upon the word of God, if we realize truly that the Lord is leading us hand by hand on the path of righteousness and into that glorious, blessed eternity, we are blessed. There is a lot of reason to rejoice and to be happy in the Lord, to be joyful, to be cheerful. The Lord repeated here frequently with increased accent, they are rebellious, but I do send you to them. They are very rebellious, but I send you to them. They are most rebellious, but I do send you to them. Tell them the word of God. But then, before the Lord actually sent him away, the Lord said, thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee, not what they say unto thee, but what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Before we can deliver any godly message, any message from the Lord to the people around us, we must first digest the bread of heaven. We must first receive that message ourselves and live in harmony with the word of God. And when Ezekiel looked, behold, a hand stood him. In the hand was the message, a roll of a book in the hand. The roll was spread before the prophet. He was to know what is the message before he can share that with the others. And it was written within and without. The word of God has twofold message, the message within and the message without. What the people will hear from us and see as they observe our living, it's one message. What we see and observe as we read the word of God, that's inward message, that between us and the Lord, that's the other side of the message. For us, the word of God is life and truth. For them, anything but what they would desire. However, when they hear the word of God, the Lord has the power to influence their heart and mind, and some will turn to the Lord. We ourselves are a proof of that. Some will turn to the Lord. And among us that believe the word of God, some will waver from time to time. We are a proof of that, aren't we? And some will be fearful, and some will worry, but not all at the same time. So the Lord is encouraging us to encourage one another. What was written in the word of God? Lamentation, mourning, and woe. That was the message to the rebellious. What is in the word of God to those that obey? Comfort and encouragement. But the commandments of God are to both. Obey the word of God. It's interesting, and I don't know if we will have another opportunity to go through this, but it's very interesting to see what was the message of God and how it started after the book was spread before Ezekiel and revealed to him what is in the book, and he ate that book in this vision. That's verse number 3 of the chapter 3. I did eat the scroll, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. What is in the book? Lamentation, mourning, and woe. And still, it was sweet in his mouth as honey. When we understand the word of God, when we digest, when we chew on the word of God, the Lord is revealing to us the delight in obeying, in walking with the Lord. There is peace that the world cannot give, and there is joy that the world cannot find, and the zeal that only the Lord can give to those that trust and obey.